Welcome to the October 29th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Jesus, Have Mercy on Me. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Good, great, fine, excellent, good, good. It's great to see you. Welcome to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the associate pastor of students and families, and we welcome you to worship here. We're glad to see your bright, smiling faces. Got an extra hour of sleep last night. We need to do that every night. It is good to be together. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We would like to get a record of everybody who was here. There are worship pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite everyone to take that worship pad, member and guest alike, and to fill it out. Members, we ask that you put your name down and any changed information, contact information, check the appropriate boxes. Them guests, we invite you to fill out all the information as you feel comfortable. This allows us to get to know you a little bit better, lets us be able to contact you and thank you for coming to worship. Then we ask, once you sign it, to send it down so that everybody can sign that pad. And then when it reaches the end, if you could send it back to where it started so our ushers can pick that up after the service, that would be great. Members, we do invite you to sneak a peek if there's somebody on your pew that you do not know. Sneak a peek and find their name and introduce yourself after the service and give them a hearty College Park welcome. Other announcements I'll make as we get started, there is one change for our Wednesday night supper reservation for this week. We need for everybody who has not signed up for reservations to sign up by Monday tomorrow at noon, as opposed to Tuesday at noon. There'll be Mountain Fried Chicken this week, so we need to get the order in a little bit quicker, and so we can get it to them on time. And there will be no Wednesday night activities next, not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, as school will be out. So get your reservations in early this week, and then remember, no Wednesday night suppers next week. We have a big day today at College Park. We have our Fall Family Festival. That starts today at 4 o'clock, and we'll be out here on the lawn. There will be all kinds of things, including inflatables, the big slides and the pitching thing, and there will be cotton candy, lots of sugar, you know, that kind of thing, and popcorn, and we want you to come, and there'll be chili for you to enjoy and other food, and it's a great time just to be together. That starts at 4 o'clock, and that will run till about 6:30, and then we will shift to our life service, which happens at 7 o'clock every Sunday evening. Our life is our service is our contemporary service. That happens in our fellowship hall every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. And tonight, our youth praise band will be leading us in worship, and so we hope that you come and support this great time of worship. That's at 7 o'clock tonight in Smith Hall. Also, today during worship, we invite our young people to come down for children's time. You will see that after hymn number 70, How Great Our God's Majestic Name. We ask the children just to come on down and to meet me down here on the floor for a special children's time this morning. Also, we have a regular Wednesday night schedule this week, and we have basketball going on for our children and our youth. A reminder to our junior co-ed, you guys will be at 6 o'clock. You will be at Old Town Elementary. And then the senior guys, you will follow up at 7:30 at Old Town. And then here at College Park, the girls will practice at 6. And then 7:30, the intermediate guys will be here. Let's see. I'm looking for other announcements. Also, we do want to let you know about Operation Christmas Child. You've got a bulletin insert. That's all happening this Wednesday. We need for you to get any kind of donations that you're able to make. Just check out the flyer for all the information. Donations are due by this Wednesday. There is one other note we want to pass on. The bus will be leaving at 9:45 tomorrow morning to go to Julia Hudspeth's graveside service. So if you want to come and to be a part of that service, the bus will be leaving at 9:45 a.m. That will be at Flat Rock Baptist Church in Hamptonville. But if you want to ride with the bus, you can leave at 9:45 in the morning. I do want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. You've already given us your information. We have ushers that are going to come down the aisles now, and now that you've given us your information, we would like to give you some information about us as they come down the aisles now. Inside this packet of information, you will find a newsletter. The newsletter is one of the best ways of getting information about what we're doing currently. It tells you about all kinds of things that are happening in the life of our church. So what we need for you to do, as you're a guest this morning, is just to raise your hand as they are coming back down the aisles and take this packet of information. This will let you know a little bit more about us at College Park. Before we continue in worship, I want to recognize Ron Colville.
Good morning. Good morning. Next Sunday, we will have deacon elections, and that will go on during the worship service and also later in the day, I think 5:30 till 7. You have opportunity to vote then. And this is a very serious matter for our church. And in today's bulletin, there's an insert that lists all the deacon nominations and tells you a little bit about them. And so if you will look at that and familiarize yourself with that. And today I would like to recognize all of our deacon nominations, all the ones that are here today. And I'm asking them to stand and to remain standing until everybody has been recognized so that you can put a name with a face. So the first one is not here today, Craig Cashwell. He is out of town on business, so he's not here today. Then Cecilia Cobble, the choir. James Cobbler. James up in the balcony. Gary Christ, Jay Edmonds, he's back here. Okay, Kent Hobson, Chris May, Sandy Mills, and Jim Purrier. There's Jim. Okay, these are deacon nominations. You may be seated. So I do hope that this week you will pray about this situation and who we should nominate as our deacons for the next. These people will serve for 3 years, next 3 years. And you may vote for only six of these nine, but I hope you will be in prayer about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. One final note as we get ready for worship tonight. There will be no Sunday evening adult discipleship. And with the fall festival going on, so the 6 o'clock adult discipleship, we want you to come and to be a part of that. So that will resume next week. One of the best things about worship is the fact that we get to see there are other people that believe like we do. The fact that we get to join our voices and our hearts together is an encouraging thing. It's something we draw strength from. That's why we get together on a regular basis to worship, to join our voices in worshiping God. It's an important thing for us to be together. And we join our voices every Sunday morning with a responsive reading that you will find in your bulletin. We call it the invitation to share in worship, and that's exactly what it is. It's an invitation for you and for I to join in worship and to invite God into this place. Would you stand now for our responsive reading? I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. I will praise the Lord at all times. Praise for God is always on my lips.
My whole being praises the Lord, the poor, the weak, and the afflicted.
Glorify the Lord with me, and let us praise God's name together. The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear God, and God saves them.
Examine and see how good the Lord is. Happy is the person who trusts God.
You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we hear in your word, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and where does my help come from? Father, the answer is you. You will keep us from all harm. You will watch over our lives. That's why we are here. Because we know that it is you who's in control. Even when the world tries to show evidence to the contrary, we know that you are Lord and Creator of heaven and earth and of our lives. And so something has called us to this place to sing and make music, to worship and glorify your name. That's why we are here. So hear the cry of our hearts this morning. May this worship be pleasing in your sight. May we focus on your face and seek your wisdom and know that we will be changed because we were here. Speak to us and hear us praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a big guy, need some room. Glad to see y'all this morning. You know, there's a special day coming up this. Oh, we got some more coming. There's a special day coming up this week. Halloween. Wow. Not Christmas. Halloween. Christmas is much better than Halloween, but Halloween. Now, one of the things that sometimes happens is we hear ghost stories at Halloween. Ooh, that's boo. That's right. Children's sermon comes with sound effects today. Woo. It ghost stories. I don't really much like ghost stories. Do you like ghost stories?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Funny ghost stories.
Are you funny ghost stories? Okay. Okay. Did you know that there was kind of a ghost story in the Bible? Huh? The disciples, they kind of saw something. They were out on the boat. Do you not remember that story? Well, if you don't, I want to introduce you to some friends that are going to kind of tell us a little bit about that story. Are you ready? Can everybody see? Can you back up a little bit? Just a little bit more? Scoot, scoot, scoot. Okay, that's good. All right. You ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hey, Sally. Why are you so quiet today?
I'm, kind of scared.
Why are you scared?
We were telling ghost stories last night, and I thought I saw one.
Hey, the same thing happened in the Bible.
Nah!
Sure did. Let me tell you one of them.
I'm kind of full up on ghost stories.
Aw, come on, Sally.
Okay, but if I say stop, you gotta stop.
Okay. The disciples were all out in the boat early one morning, long before the sun even came up, and the wind was blowing so hard, all the disciples were straining at the oars, pulling and pulling on the oars, but the wind was blowing so hard that with all their might, they still weren't getting very far.
Then what happened?
They looked up and thought they saw a ghost, Jesus' ghost walking on the water. They were so scared, they were terrified, and they cried out.
Ah!
That's right, just like that. But then something happens. Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed in the boat with them, and the wind died down.
Then it wasn't a ghost.
Nope, they just thought it was.
And he was real and right there, close enough to snuggle up.
Yes, and he even made them feel better by talking calmly to them.
Wow, that's the best ghost story I've ever heard.
And it's true. You know what it tells us today?
What?
He is right there with you, too, when you are scared.
Close enough to snuggle up.
Yes, Jesus is right there with us through life's storms. Close enough to snuggle up.
All right. Did they do good? Did they do good? Now, what can we learn from that true story from the Bible? Jesus said, don't be afraid. Why? Because it's Jesus, and he is with us. So there are going to be times in our lives when we're scared, right? Yeah. But what does Jesus say? Do not be afraid. And he's right there with us. That's a great message for us to learn this morning. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. And we thank you for the disciples. And we thank you for the story that we heard about the time they saw a ghost story. They saw a ghost, but God, it wasn't. It was Jesus who was alive and well. They were scared because of the storm and things that were going on around them. But God, you showed them that it doesn't matter what they're going through, that you were always right there. Thank you for teaching us that this morning. Help us to have courage every day and to know that you are always with us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
As we move to the ministry of God's Word, I invite you to join along with the scripture readings in your own Bible or in the pew Bibles that you'll find in the rack in front of you. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Job, chapter 42, verses 1 through 6 and verses 10 through 17. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Then moving to verse 10 through 17. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Kiran Hapuk. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so he died, old and full of years. Our New Testament reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 23 through 38, through 28, excuse me. Now, there had been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we have just heard from the book of Hebrews about the role of your Son, that Jesus lives in a permanent priesthood, and that he is able to save all those who come to you through him. Lord, that's always a good place to start. As we come to you in prayer and in worship, as we seek to pray to you, not only on our own behalf, but on behalf of others, your Son is always a good place for us to start. Lord, thank you for sending your Son to save us. Thank you for sending your Son so that we don't need to be afraid, and that we can have courage and we can be not afraid in the face of your love and your mercy upon us. Lord, thank you. Lord, as we seek to place the role of your Son in the context of our own lives and what you have called us to do, we thank you that you have also granted us priesthood. Not a priesthood like Jesus, but a priesthood nonetheless, that we can come to you in prayer, that we can act as ministers of the gospel on your behalf. Lord, that's a role that all of us take very seriously and need to continue to strive every day to fulfill in our own lives, to be ministers of your word, to minister to those around us. Lord, the needs for ministry are so great. There are those among us who are hurting. There are those among us who have lost loved ones just this week and in the past few weeks. There have been tragedies in our community. There's so many things going on, so much distress in our complicated world. Lord, the need for ministry is great. Lord, give us the strength to see the areas that we may be of service to you through ministry. that we may reach out to those who are in need, that we may comfort those who are in despair, that we may bring your word and your love to everyone around us and be the kind of influence and be the kind of ministers that you would have us to be. Lord, let us not take that seriously just in our comfort zone, in our family, in the people within this church. That's very important, and that's part of what we're called to do. We know that. But let us take seriously that obligation to look beyond our own walls to those in this community, to those who are around us, to those who do not yet know you, but who can know you. Lord, help us to take that very seriously. And help this to be a day and a week in our lives that our vision is sharp, our senses are acute to ways that we can serve you. Lord, we are ministers for you. Give us the strength to do that with all of our ability, all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our strength to serve you, to serve others, and to do in your name what we believe that we are called to do and what this church is called to do as the body of Christ sent in your name. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for sending your Son. And thank you for granting us the great privilege of being ministers for you. It is in your Son's name that we pray and praise you with all our energy and strength. Amen.
please pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, you blessed us in so many ways. You've given us so much, yet we still yearn for more. We have this wonderful church family to lift us up and support us in times of need. We have this beautiful building in which to worship. Teach us to appreciate the things we have and to recognize that everything we have comes from you alone. You've also blessed us by allowing us to live in a country where we're free to openly worship you and speak your name. Yet we often fail to use that freedom to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those we encounter. Make us bold in speaking your name and sharing your gift of salvation. We know that there are those here and around us who are facing difficult situations in their lives. We ask that you bring comfort and peace to each of these individuals and situations. Help us to recognize that you are always in control and give us the peace that comes with that knowledge. We now have a chance to give back just a small portion of what you have given us. Take these gifts and use them and each of us to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, We are going to continue in our study of Mark, and today we'll be reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. So I invite you to take a copy of God's Word and open up to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, again beginning in verse 46. We'll be reading a story that perhaps many of you have heard before. It has a parallel actually in Matthew and in Luke. Although I believe in those parallel passages, it does not identify Bartimaeus by name, but it's obviously a parallel recording of this event. So widely recorded and recognized, and we're going to read it together. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. A remarkable story. It's hard, though, sometimes, as we come together and we look at the healing stories of Jesus, because in just about any congregation, there are those who will be sitting there wondering, well, why would Jesus heal Bartimaeus, but yet God seems to ignore my pain? Why is that? And it's a legitimate question. And there's certainly enough pain to go around in the world. There's suffering all around us. We hear about it every single day. And we would naturally imagine, you know what? If I were God for a day, I just wouldn't allow it. I would not allow pain and suffering. I'd get rid of it. I'd do something about it. That's a human response, perhaps, to this question. The question of pain and suffering is actually an ancient question. It's as old, literally, as the world itself. And there's never really been an answer, at least in the form that we would like. Something clean and tidy, which crosses all the T's and dots all the I's. There's no explanation, no resolution, no key to understanding exactly why Bartimaeus and all of humankind, we find ourselves in physical need of healing, and some receive it and some don't. What's the answer? If you read the healing stories of Jesus and look at all of the stories of healing in Jesus' ministry, we don't find the kind of clean answers that we desire. But what we do find, unmistakably, is a look into the work and the mercy of God. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's what this blind man cried out. A blind man who was beside the crowd. He was at the fringes of society, if you would, because of the stigma attached to those who had physical infirmities in his time. Perhaps even in our time. He knew his place. That was his place beside the road. Beside the road where people would pass by and he would cry for mercy. That's the only place that he could get the kind of help he needed. Or so they thought. He would get gifts. He would get handouts by passers-by. And he cried out, as he always did, for alms. But something changed. He heard that Jesus was in the crowd that was coming toward him. And his pleas changed. Instead of crying out for alms, he cried out for mercy. I don't know if he knew. I don't know if he had real hope of being healed on that day. Perhaps he expected something else from Jesus. We really don't know what his expectations were. Perhaps he'd heard of other healings. Word traveled quickly. Perhaps he heard. We do know that those who were with Jesus, quote, wanted to protect Jesus. And so they ask him to be quiet. Actually, that's kind of a kind way to put it. Scripture says they rebuked him. They demanded that he be quiet. But this guy was determined. It says he shouted even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's when we see it. Not the answers to all the questions we have. We don't see that. But what we do see is someone who cares so deeply that he stopped and he paid attention. Others had tried to shush this man up. And Jesus turned and looked at him and said, call him. In other words, have him come to me. And they did. This group of people who had previously rebuked Bartimaeus, told him, be quiet, go away is the translation there. Just be quiet, go away. Now they followed the merciful example of Jesus. They said, cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling you. That's the NIV translation. The New King James says, take heart. Take heart. Don't be afraid. Stand up. He's calling you. Come to him. And Bartimaeus did exactly that. I would guess he probably said, okay, let's get rid of this cloak. No. No, it said he jumped up. He threw the cloak off and ran to him. This was his chance. He recognized an opportunity. He ran over. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? The man had a very simple request, given his circumstances. He said, Rabbi, teacher, I want to see. And it happened. Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness and he became a follower. He became a disciple, following Jesus along with the crowd that had a few minutes before that wanted him to be quiet and go away. The story that we have here is fascinating for me. And, you know, it may be three or four sermons, but I'll try to condense it for you. It's fascinating for a number of reasons. There's the healing of a blind man. It shows hope. It shows mercy. And it also shows all of those who misunderstood or seemed to misunderstand what was going on. There is probably more emotion in this story than other healing accounts we may read in the Gospels. There's a lot of emotion there. It's expressed through both words as well as actions. Consider. Here's the crowd. First, they rebuke, or sternly ordered, as some translations say. The bottom line is they told him to be quiet. And then later they told him, oh, take heart, cheer up, hey. Bartimaeus is silent, or told to be silent, but yet he cries all the louder, with emotion pouring out of him, Son of David, have mercy. He cried for mercy. He threw off his cloak and sprang to his feet when invited into the presence of the master. And then when healed, he followed. Imagine all of the emotion, not just in Bartimaeus, but those who were following. Imagine being a part of that. See, far from refusing to deal with hurting people, Jesus responded to the shouts and the cries and the enthusiastic hopes of a man who was in desperate need. Search the Gospels and you're going to find a very interesting pattern. I went back. Every single healing that's recorded in Matthew and Mark, in every single case, the person to be healed is brought by friends into the presence of Jesus, or they approach Jesus personally and ask for healing. Do you get the implication there? They're either brought by those who loved and cared for them into the presence of the healer, or they approach Jesus themselves and ask for healing. In Luke and in John, you find the same thing except for two exceptions. In Luke, there are two exceptions. One is the raising of the widow's son from the dead. You may remember that story. And also there's the story of a crippled woman who was healed on the Sabbath with a very significant teaching that was associated with that in Luke 13. Those are the only two exceptions in Luke. And in John, there's two exceptions to this pattern. Both of them are the pool stories. You may remember John 5, there was an invalid that was healed at the pool. And then at the pool of Siloam in John 9, there was a blind man that was healed. But every single other place in Luke and in John, as well as Matthew and Mark, you had people that were brought by those who cared for them. Or, if they were able, they approached Jesus personally and asked for mercy, asked for healing. So what does that say to us? There is so much that we can learn about the workings of human pain and suffering within a community of faith. And the implications to us, what that means to love and encourage and support and bring, usher others into the presence of Jesus for healing. The blind man. He was a man, Bartimaeus, who was in great need. He continually called out for help. They're on the side of the road. Not just on this day, but he probably had been doing it every day. He's there by the side of the road and he's asking for help. But just as we often do, the people just kept walking. They kept walking on by. And some of them even tried to get him to be quiet. Now, are they really worried that Jesus is going to be disturbed by this? What do you think? Do you think it was really about their concern for Jesus being disturbed? I'm getting a lot of heads doing like this in the choir, so I'm going to go with the choir. Final answer? Final answer. They don't think it was about Jesus. I don't think it was about Jesus. I think they were disturbed, okay. I believe that. I think they were disturbed because they were disturbed that he was there. His physical presence there disturb them. They're disturbed by the reminder that there is pain and suffering in the world. They're disturbed by the fact that it's so close to them that he can reach out and touch them. And they really would rather not be reminded of that. That just doesn't fit into the worldview that they would like to live in. The little fantasy they want to live in. But this man is in need. And he's wise enough not to keep that bottled up inside of him. He shouts. He cries out to Jesus for mercy and for healing. And Jesus recognizes his plea and responds to his plea. The crowd's response is Again, I could go on and on. The crowd's response is fascinating. It's interesting to me because initially they're protective, supposedly, of Jesus. And after they see how Jesus responds, what do? Well, I can't believe he did that. No, they turn, oh, come on, cheer up, they say. Cheer up, it's all good. Come on over to Jesus. Remarkable. Jesus had that effect on people. He could turn a crowd instantly. I see in this story a picture of human pain, a picture of suffering, and I also see a community that is initially reluctant to help. But because of the presence and power of Jesus Christ, they help the man get the help that he needs. They say, cheer up. Take heart. Come on over. Get on your feet. Jesus wants to see you. And it makes me wonder, what would happen if we as a church, if we as a community, would get the help for those who are striving to be helped? It may be a physical affliction. It may be an emotional affliction. It may be a spiritual. It may be all three. But what would happen if we actually took the time to listen, to hear, and to respond as our Lord did? Because after all, that's what we're called to do. We call ourselves Christians, Christ ones. And the implication here is unmistakable. We are supposed to be Christ-like in our actions, in our responses to those who are needing, to those who are, quote, beside the road, to those who are walking with us in the road, who are hiding their afflictions, who desperately need to talk about it, who desperately need someone to quit giving pat answers and just listen. What would happen in our church and in our community, in our schools, in our workplace? What would happen if we actually took the time to listen and to help people? To point them to the master healer, but to be agents, to be ministers of that same healer, whose name we know is Jesus Christ, but who others may not know at all. What would happen? I want you to explore that question this week. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we hear the story of a blind man who had the courage, in the eyes of those around him, the audacity to cry out to the Savior of the world. Maybe we've become so dependent on our own resources that we forget to come to Christ first. Maybe we've become so modernized that we think that medical science or others has all the answers. But we know that sciences don't hold all the answers because the questions are beyond their reasoning. Father, we know that the answers are in the person and the work and the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for the courage and the wisdom and the strength to be ministers of the gospel this week. To listen. To be sensitive to the needs and the hurts around us. To point others to Jesus. But to do so only after spending the time letting people know that we genuinely care. Father, we pray that as we encounter those who are hurt, that we'd be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that we would have the strength and the guidance to know how you will use us if we'll just be willing to be used. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You've been here in worship, and I hope that it has been a day of worship for you, that you've experienced the moving of the Holy Spirit as we've read from God's Word, as we've sung, as we've heard singing. And I hope that you've had a genuine time of worship together. I hope that you also have had an experience of conviction, that maybe God has reached and touched your heart in a place that you need, that I need. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that conviction that's been placed upon your heart. If you're not a believer, I want to extend an invitation for you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you are a believer and maybe just so busy, and it's an understandable trap, but it's one we've got to avoid. We're so busy that we lose sight of all that God wants us to do and the opportunities that He puts in our path. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to say, Lord, I'm just as guilty as others. I'm not recognizing the ministry opportunities you're placing before me. Give me the wisdom to know how to do that better. Lift that up to Him this morning. He will show you. You have to trust Him, but He will show you. Maybe you'd like to join this fellowship of believers. It's a wonderful community of faith. We're not perfect, but we love each other, and we invite you to be a part of that as God would lead you to be. And there's several ways that we accept membership, and I'll be glad to talk with you. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I want to invite you back this afternoon. It'll be a wonderful time of fellowship. Take a few moments when you go home. Call your next door neighbors. Invite them. Offer to pick them up and bring them. And have a wonderful time out at the Fall Festival. And invite you again to be with us for life tonight, where we'll explore this theme of what it means to care for others and serve others in a little bit different fashion. So I want to invite you for that. I invite you to bow with me now for a benediction from God's Word. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.